has all the makings of a future musician. And I'm not quite sure that he still does this anymore, but at one point, he really enjoyed just banging around on the piano, really banging around, I think, probably. But he enjoyed doing that, and he's even been caught weeping over the piano, and I think collapsing over it whenever he was done, like a true musician. And so you look at that boy, and you say, well, that boy is going to grow up to be a musician when he grows up. Unless, of course, he doesn't. Unless, he chooses not to. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. Now, that doesn't mean that he has to be a professional athlete when he grows up, especially if he doesn't want to, if he doesn't choose to be. I see so many kiddos, and I just think to myself, they're going to be this in the future. They're going to be this, or they're going to be that, because of their personality, or because of what they enjoy, or what they're good at. But, of course, it's not set in stone. I think about stories that I hear about AJ when he was a little boy, and I'm not sure, hearing those stories, that a crop consultant is what most people would peg him to be whenever he grew up. I think a good biblical example of this is James and John. James and John really seemed set up to spend the rest of their lives as fishermen. I assume it's what they grew up doing. Their father was a fisherman. We read in Matthew 4 and verse 21. Now, going on from there, he, and we're talking about Jesus here, saw two brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. They had a pretty good setup. They had hired servants. We read about that in Mark's account in Mark 1 and verse 20. They were in a partnership with other fishermen, namely Peter. We read about that in Luke chapter 5 and verse 10. So they had all the makings of being fishermen, and being fishermen for all of their life until they decided not to be. Until they were called to the life that God had for them, a life that seemed different from maybe what it seemed like they were destined to do, what they were made to do. What did they do? Again, Matthew 4 and verse 21. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. They chose to leave their nets. We always, always have the choice of whether or not we are going to do something and whether or not we're going to be something. No matter what our surroundings, no matter what our upbringings, no matter what our personality, whatever it is, for better or worse, we can choose to do differently or choose to be different. Nobody, nothing, anything. I mean, there's not a thing that can force us to be anything. And of course, my encouragement tonight would be to choose for the better. Choose for the best. Because we all do have to make a very big choice in our life, and that is our life. And what we are going to do with it, or what we are doing with it now. We can choose if our life is going to be in the image of man, or if our life is going to be in the image of God. Because that was God's intent for man from the beginning. We read in Genesis 1 and verse 26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. God made man to be in his image. And the earliest choices that man made was to turn away from that. And so you take a snapshot of human, you take a look at the image of man, and what do we see? We see work, eat, sleep. That's all that there is to life. We see, self-centered. We see striving for the things that perish. And we can choose to do that, or we can choose differently. We can look at the image of God that He gives us within His Word of who He is, His holiness, His life, His love, His righteousness, His mercy, His forgiveness, taking care of people, helping people, leading others to salvation. That is what we can choose to be. We are not a people with our future that is set in stone. Our past does not lock us into anything. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was the chief of sinners. Did not have to stay that way. The things that we have done, the mistakes that we made, the home that we have grown up in, the faith of the people that we grew up with, or the lack of faith, whatever the case may be, a lack of education, a history of addiction, whatever we feel like our personality shortcomings are, whatever it is, none of that has to determine what our future is. Even if it feels like all of that combined adds up to something else, and we are determined to be a certain way, and that certain way is certainly not godly, and that certain way is certainly not useful to God's work, godly is something for religious people. That is for other people, for the really religious people, or the people who are perfect. That's not true. Jesus said in Luke chapter 5 and verse 31, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And what if we do accept that life through Jesus that He offers us? We read in Titus 2, in verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. If we have accepted the grace of God through Christ Jesus, godliness is for us. Christ gave himself for that, and that is the calling that God calls us to. And that's not always easy. You know, maybe putting the net down was a pretty hard choice for Peter and Andrew and James and John. It would have been for me. Kind of like putting away the future that I thought for sure was mine for all of my life. And it's hard to feel like you have the ability to do anything like that. It's very easy to say that we can't do something. Easy for me, at least. I can't be righteous because of this, or I can't be godly because of this. I can't love God with all of my heart, soul, and mind. I can't be anything more than I am. I can't put down my net. I have to be what I am going to be. I can't do anything else. And you know, in some sense, that's true. We are going to be who we are, but the thing is that God can turn who we are into something better. He can put us to better use. He is the one who turned fishers of fish into fishers of men. And he can do that for all of us. We can choose not to be held back by the past, and we can certainly choose to be what God wants us to be for the future and to allow him to use us for that. And a choice like that, I was thinking about it, it will have an obvious effect on our lives. And you would expect it to. It really should. Even the things that we invest in career-wise determines a lot of what we do and our speech and what we read and what we talk about and whatever, and that's just a career. What if we were to invest our entire lives into something, into God? What kind of change should be visible in us then? I wonder what the speech of Peter and John looked like just a couple of years before we read about them in the Gospels. I wonder, maybe if it had a lot to do with fish. I really don't know. But I certainly know for sure what it sounded like after they had put their nets and their lives and their jobs down for Christ and turned their lives over to him. Peter's speech was filled with things like this in 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." That's Peter. John said things like this, 1 John 5 and verse 1. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we are the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." You know, I'm fine with hearing about fish. If anybody wants to talk about fish, I'll listen to you. But it's not greater than that. It doesn't even come close. Their speech is full of hope, and their lives were full of hope. And that's the reason why their speech was full of hope. And there is nothing that can prevent us from being the same, not even our past, unless we choose for it to do so. This hope is not something that is reserved for the apostles. And it's not something that is reserved for those that have a clean past. And it's not reserved for those who just have the disposition to do so. It is reserved for those that the apostles are writing to. Flawed people just like you and me, who Christ makes perfect. Every man and woman who has been born of Adam, and we all have been just descendant-wise, can relate to Cain in a sense. And it's hard to think about that, but we can in a sense. Our parents have made mistakes. We make mistakes. We have suffered disappointments in our life. Our temperament isn't the best. We have a lot of things that we struggle with. All of these things, obviously, are kind of worse for some than they are for others. But just like Cain, we have the option to choose what we are going to do next. He chose wrong. We can choose better. In fact, we can choose the best. Praise God who did the unspeakable thing in cleansing us from our past. Just giving us a new slate. Allowing us to be reborn again of Christ, just like we read in 1 Peter. Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 17, "For if the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one many will be made righteous. The sacrifice of Christ is greater than the mistakes of Adam. They're greater than the mistakes of our parents. They're greater than the mistakes of our past. They're certainly greater than the sins that He died to take care of and to wash away and to purify us of. And that's liberating. That gives us freedom to our life. But the question is, what are we going to do with that freedom? The apostles were born to be fishermen, in a sense. But really, more than that, they were born to be servants of God. That was worth putting their nets down over. And we are called with that same calling. We can choose whether or not we are going to answer it. Nothing can stop us. Not even our past. Unless, of course, we choose to let it. So let's not choose to let it. If you still this evening need this great blessing of being forgiven of your sins and being forgiven of your past and given a new life through Christ, if you need a Savior and if you are ready to obey the gospel tonight, or if you need any prayers of the congregation or anything of that need, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.